Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. And as you can probably see, this is a special edition episode, Wonder Women. And we have launched this special edition in order to give women the tools they need and those men who also work with women the tools they need to succeed. And of course, we have a very special guest here with us today, Catherine Davis, the CEO of Balance. And we'll learn a little bit more about her very soon. So let's launch right in. What does it mean to be a Wonder Woman? What does it mean to work with women that are wanting to progress in their careers and empower those people that work with you? And this particular episode is Wonder Women, the Working Mom. And there are so many of us that are out there that are trying to balance a family as well as, you know, take over the world and our businesses and things like that, right? But really about trying to be the best that we can be in home and in business. And so why women in leadership and why this Wonder Women special edition? And I thought I'd pull up a couple stats for you just to frame the discussion and then go into what we're going to do about it. And the first is, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, women make about 47% of the U.S. workforce. So they are 47% of the workforce. However, in CEO positions in the S&P 500, they're only 5.8%. So, and that's in the S&P 500. And then in industries like Catherine and I work in financial services, et cetera, the problem mirrors that. It's similar in the fact that the higher you go in the organization, the bigger the organization is, the less representation we see by women. I also teach at the College of Southern Nevada, as you may know. And one of the things that I'm seeing with the women that are there is young women like will ask, well, what's the glass ceiling? Like, what even is that? There's no such thing. I can do whatever I want, which I think is amazing. This is an amazing problem to have. It's amazing. I'm sure there are women from the 60s and 70s that were burning their bras that are so happy that we've gotten to this place that people aren't even aware that something like that ever existed. On the flip side, it also shows that we aren't working towards a different future as hard as we once were. So if we don't think there's a problem, we aren't working towards solving that problem. And so having a disproportionate amount of executives in different positions is something to at least think about. Are we giving the women that we're working with the most that we can possibly do? And this special edition will follow the same segment format that we have, the learn, the love, and the kick ass. In the learn section, we're going to highlight a couple real life challenges. Today, it's about being the working mom. In the love section, we're going to connect the listeners with women who are totally kicking butt and making things happen, and they can share their experience. And then three, we're going to give you some kick-ass strategies that you need to help make a difference. And again, this is applicable for both the women that are in leadership as well as the men who work with, work for, or lead women in their organizations. But I want you to know that I could not do it without the support of business partners and strategists. One example of that is Frank Diekman. He and I were brainstorming about what we can do to give these tools. Anyway, and we'll hear a little bit more about him, but he's been a huge supporter in creating this Wonder Woman effort. And the other is Shauna Richardson from Saratech. She's committed to helping women all over the world. And again, we're going to hear a shout out from her as we go forth as well. So the working mom. You know, this is an interesting one because I live and breathe it. I cannot connect or disconnect myself from being a business person and being a mom. It's just who I am. And I live it, you know, through and through. And this morning, as I was coming to the studio to be here with you, I noticed I had toothpaste all over my shirt. And I'm like, why do I even have this? Like, I swear I've figured out how to brush my teeth in these, you know, however many years, 29 years that I've lived on the 29 years I've lived on this planet. However, I was brushing a little child this morning, and then just sure enough, there's just sticky hands that get in all these different places. And I was thinking about the working mom kind of phenomenon as I was, you know, preparing for this discussion and thinking about the fact that majority of the guilt or challenge or things that I strive for are entirely from me. Like, I do this to myself. It becomes a self-proclaim that I need to be the best mom, and I need to be the best Betty Crocker, and I need to be also in the classroom, and I also need to run this business and do all those things. And really, at the end of the day, that's incredibly hard to do, and I can't be all things to everyone. So how do I create those priorities to be the best that I can? Another piece of that is making sure that I feel you know, solemn, that I feel whole. I feel okay with any decisions that I make along the way. An example or a frustration that I have in this working mom piece is that my kids go to school, obviously, and a lot of times I feel like schools or our school or whatever don't support the working mom, that things are built for there to be somebody at home that just at the, you know, drop of a dime could just run towards the school. An example is last Monday we got a flyer that said field day coming soon. We encourage parents to attend. And then it said Tuesday. And I was looking at it on Monday and I thought, oh, that's nice of you for tomorrow there to be something that I am supposed to be at in the middle of the working day. And we're supposed to just have a parent that just goes, oh, okay, well, I won't do whatever I had planned to do and make it to this field day. I was going to say something like, I won't go to yoga class or to the class. And I thought, I feel like that's already going to, you know, hit me against this judgment thing that I'm going to talk to you about that too. But really, what I've tried to do in my efforts in school, as a strategy maybe that you can work with too, is that I let the teachers know right up front that say, hey, I travel. I am a working mom. I am out of town. I do things. So if you want to get a hold of me, or if you want something done in our family or our student, our child to act a little bit different or to get a certain project or anything, we are there. We're committed 100%. They're the most important things in our lives. But if you want to communicate, you're going to have to email. You're going to have to text. It's going to have to be above and beyond because it won't be me that's picking them up from school. And so we won't be able to have that conversation. So a couple other strategies that I've tried to employ and I'm learning as I go and every day learn something else about myself and about my journey in this, in being a working mom. But first is to let some things go. That, and I kind of mentioned it about feeling solemn or that type of thing, but really to be okay with the decision that I've made. And I have heard this quote before, but saying that me going to work and being the best that I can be at work is being a good mom. And so if anybody is feeling like that working moms are being away from their families or doing different things and it's not being the best mom that they can be, that's not fair. Me doing what I do in the industry and serving the people that I serve is being a good mom and a good example to my children. The second strategy is to delegate. I am not afraid to delegate. And that is all across the board, even to my poor husband. So he's probably going to listen to this podcast and be like, she needs to stop delegating. But it's true. Like that delegation is key. If there are, because of the fact that I am pulled 1,000 different directions, there are going to be things that I can't accomplish. And if I want to get them accomplished, how can I lean on the support of the people around me to help me do that? The next is to be as organized as possible. I know where everything is in my purse. I know where everything is in my car. I know that when I walk into the office and it isn't as clean as can be, I have to fix that first. And so some people might call that, is it OCD? But it's totally just about being as organized as you can because it really does keep my brain focused on achieving. And so when I am on the road or I am working or I am here with you and delivering different topics, that I'm not thinking about things that should be getting done or aren't getting done or I'm not thinking of because I know it's being handled. I know things out there are checking off the list as they should. And the final piece is trying to make sure that when I do disconnect, that I am actually doing so. I've mentioned that in other podcasts. We've talked about it in the role it plays in the emotional, you know, brain, in the role it plays in the sexual brain. We're talking to Dr. Kat. It just really disconnecting and truly disconnecting. And when I am with my kids, to be with them 100% is so important. And, you know, the kind of final way to bring this all together is I introduce you to our subject matter expert. And that is for me, and this is my own growth opportunity, to try not to judge the non-working mom. I feel like if I can run a business and a house, then they can run a house. Right. And I find myself getting to this place of, like I was just earlier making that silly comment about the, you know, try not to go to coffee and get to field day or whatever. And that's not fair of me. And that is an opportunity that I have to do. And I think it comes from a place of vulnerability because I do actually sometimes worry that I'm not being the best that I can be in all facets. That's that guilt. That's that self-proclaimed thing I was shouting about. And something that I know that is shared by many working moms. And in an effort to protect myself in that area, sometimes can be a little bit more judgy of those that aren't doing doing the things that I'm doing. And that's not fair to them because they're doing the best that they can be in the tools and priorities and values and things that they have. So I want to talk to somebody that I know shares in a lot of these pieces and then is doing it even better, and somebody that I can strive to work towards and be about. And before I introduce Catherine, in a formal sense, I want to go to a shout out really quick by Frank Diekman, who's supporting us here in the Wonder Woman effort. Frank?
Hello, I am Frank J. Diekman with seeyoutoday.info, and we are delighted to partner in this Wonder Women initiative. Many women do indeed wonder during their careers what they can do to both contribute to credit unions and develop a career path that allows them to achieve their goals. We are looking forward to this partnership and providing some direction to both of those issues. Thank you.
You may recognize Frank. He was a guest here on the podcast and talking about influence. And thank you to Frank and seeyoutoday.info for being our partner in this effort. So Miss Catherine Davis, the president and CEO of Balance. She has her bachelor's of arts, bachelor in arts from UC Riverside, and master's from Chapman University. She's also a chief certified executive as well as a marketing executive. So you have some background in marketing and just leadership in general. You've won awards from CUNA and Mac and Q. You were marketing executive of the year and a trailblazer 40 below. I feel like I've got some fun friends that have been in that effort as well. So that's exciting. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
I'm so excited. So you're working, and you were saying that your child wanted to jump on the airplane with you and be here today.
He did. Yes. My almost 4-year-old wanted to come with, which might've been appropriate.
I feel like, considering the topic, it definitely could have been maybe a little distracting if we saw him like running back and forth, which is what my child would have been doing.
Yes, I'm sure
yours would have been totally well behaved sitting in a chair.
No, I don't think so. No. Boy, no.
Yeah, right? I know. Boys. So tell us about your journey in leadership and being a mom.
Yeah, absolutely. So spent most of my career in credit unions. Close to 20 years. In the last 3 years, I've had the pleasure to lead Balance, which is a nationwide nonprofit organization focused on financial health. Having worked my way through the ranks, I obviously spent an enormous amount of time focused on my career.
Sure.
And so I got married a little bit later and had kids a little bit later as a result. So I was pretty established in my career by the time I had children. I have 3 kids. I have a 12-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son, and an almost 4-year-old son. So we also have a pretty, wide age gap.
Range,
I think one thing that was really awesome to, be at an executive senior level by the time I started having kids, definitely I think had some luxuries in terms of, schedule-wise, right? Some flexibility. But then there's also the flip side of that. You have an enormous amount of responsibility and pressures as well. So I definitely sort of feel like I've been, trying to juggle that the last decade. I'm not sure how well, but definitely, trying to do my best. I loved your comment on the schools. I feel like schools operate like it's 1955.
Right.
I mean, to have the only time you can have the parent-teacher conference is at 1:30.
And only on that Thursday.
And only on that Thursday. And again, they give you the notice on Monday and you happen to be traveling that week.
And how dare you if you don't show up?
Yeah. I mean, so I really wish schools would sort of modernize themselves
absolutely
on that toward the working parent. So
no, I absolutely agree. And it happens in all facets of that, because at the end of the day, I want my child to feel like I'm there for them too.
Totally.
So there was a piano lesson that happened. And I may have shared this during the podcast, but they had a piano concert on a Thursday, and I got the call on like Tuesday that there's a piano concert. And my son James is like, "Mommy, you have to be
right,"
and looking at me with these eyes. And I'm like, and of course I'm like, "Well, yes." Right. And so I'm calling clients, I'm changing things around, I'm moving flights, I'm doing all this stuff because I wasn't even going to be in town. And then I come race into the school, pull in, run in for the 1:30 sit down time. And then it was late. We like sat there for like 20 or 30 minutes
and I'm
just like grumpy face, sitting there.
Yeah. I'm all about the notice and the scheduling as well. Mm. I mean, again, I think that's sort of another luxury when you have a higher level position.
Right.
You by and large can make your schedule. And so I do, put all that stuff in the calendar. I mean, I'm a homeroom mom every year. I do chaperone field trips. But again, it's got to be on the calendar so I can build stuff around it. Once I've got
other
meetings
built
and board events and meeting with partners, oftentimes you just can't cancel those, nor would I want to. Like, that's not fair to those stakeholders.
No doubt.
So I think the organization is most definitely key. Live and die by the calendar.
Yes, so true. So what does it mean to you in general in 2017 and beyond, 18 and beyond, to be a working mom?
Yeah. You know, I'd say it's both great and bad. And the great part where I see the big change, shout out to the Gen X and the Gen Y dads. They're changing the landscape.
Sure.
You know, so the Gen Xer, I think about my husband and sort of how dads have become so hands-on and active with their kids. Mm-hmm. They've changed the work environment as a result. Because
Absolutely.
Now you see dads, you know, if a child is out sick, it's not automatically the mom. That's going to stay at home. Mm-hmm. It actually might depend on who has what going on at their job that day.
Absolutely.
You see dads, you know, leaving, well, I'm going to go to the doctor appointment. I want to go to the recital. I'm going to go to the parent-teacher conference. It's not always just on the mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that generation has dramatically just started to change the landscape. I mean, one thing that's interesting for me, having a 12-year-old and then now having an almost 4-year-old, preschool drop-off is fascinating to me. It's very different than it was a decade ago. Today, when I drop off my youngest, it's actually majority dads
that are doing the drop-off.
Yeah. And to
my
be quite honest, and mine normally does as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just interesting to sort of just see the shift of involvement even over the last decade. So it makes me hopeful. Makes me hopeful for employers.
Right.
Frankly, makes me really excited when I think about my kids, my boys and my girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of think about, well, the way they view the world and their expectation is a much more equality, right? Where mom and dad are equally involved. The downside, though, I definitely was resonating with the stats that you shared up front.
Mm-hmm.
So in particular, in board seats and in executive level positions, I am by and large not only the youngest person when I sit around the table with my peers, my other CEO peers in my organization. We work with credit unions, we work with government, we work with other nonprofits, so kind of in the financial services sector. It's predominantly still all men, significantly older men. And so I'm literally, you know, sort of, there's just one of me,
right.
You know, so,
men and a little, and Catherine.
And little me. So that is definitely, I think, still, it's still happening. And I think in some cases, you know, obviously maybe the opportunity doesn't come up or you're just not given the opportunity. But in a lot of cases, I also see women, moms saying, you know what, like, it's too much. I actually don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, so there's kind of a combination of things in play. So definitely kind of,
it's a balance. Yeah,
it is a balance. And I think both of those are definitely on my mind. I very much still feel like the token female sitting at the table.
Right.
And they're always fascinated when I have little children as well. Like they're kind of scratching their head at that, right? Because I think there's still a bit of a stigma kind of when you see women in higher level roles, like, well, maybe they just spend all their time working.
Sure.
Well, no, actually, I have 3 kids. I'm really involved with them. Let me tell you about that.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's true. Like, there's almost stereotypes about working moms or whatever. Yeah.
Definitely.
And, you know, and both you and I agree very strongly that it's the best person for the job. So it's not like we're saying we have to take an affirmative action approach but it is, if we can empower women to get to those positions, both from a male or female perspective,
right?
You know, how can we do that?
Right. Well, and I think I see too, I see so many of my female colleagues who would be the most amazing CEOs, and they try and they try. And like after the third time of being in the final round of a search and not getting it, they're like, I don't need this anymore.
Right.
Right.
It's
and
hard.
I'll say, I actually was in that seat myself where you just sort of think, well, maybe it's not, maybe
in the
it's
cards.
Just not meant to be.
Yeah. You got to just keep going.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that, I mean, you certainly are highlighting a challenge there, but what are some pressures or hurdles or things that you've overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably is like one of the bigger ones.
Yep.
I think too, just sort of oftentimes people do want to stereotype you, especially as a mom, as a working mom, that, oh, you know, that person's just doing that.
Sure.
I think probably some of the bigger stereotypes are actually with pregnant women.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was sort of interesting for me. And obviously, you know, like every pregnancy is super, super different.
Right.
My last one, I actually took a business trip, I am not joking you, to the East Coast a week and a half before my son
I can't believe they let you
born.
On the plane.
Well, my doctor said, I'm signing this note under duress. I said, no, I need to go to this. And I actually made my husband to come with me because I was petrified I was going to go into labor.
Yeah.
But I sort of felt that people were stopped inviting me to things because they thought they were doing me a favor.
Right.
Whereas I was
okay.
like, no, I'm feeling great. I'm actually still going to go do these things. Don't let me opt out.
Right.
don't opt me out automatically. And, you know, again, like every pregnancy is different. So I think to really sort of just put yourself out there, because people, and I also sort of found people didn't mean to do it meanly or negatively either. Like they were like, oh, like I'm helping, I'm, you know, doing you a favor type of thing. And so I think by you defining, you know, what you want and what you're doing, like that's, you need to basically take that power and do it.
That's great advice. Yeah. So what's a lesson or disaster or funny story or something that you've survived?
You know, I had to laugh when I saw the recent, it was maybe in a couple of months now, the gentleman on the BBC.
Oh my gosh, I love that video.
I think I've had something like that happen with all three of my kids. And actually it happened recently with my youngest, where I had a really, you know, early morning call. My husband had taken the two bigger kids to school and I was home with little guy. And, you know, I'm a real, I really blend work and personal. So my kids are all really good. Generally, if they see me on the phone, like they sort of know, even the little guy, like they sort of know, like, you know, mom's probably working. She's probably not on a social call. So they're pretty good about that. Well, this particular morning, a little guy had to go poop, and I'm the one giving the presentation. I'm doing this, you know, webinar. I'm the one speaking, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs and
about his poop.
About his poop, and like, come wipe. And you know, I think probably 10 years ago, I would have been really mortified and embarrassed, and I sort of feel where I'm at right this second. You know what? I'm a working mom, and I actually, and it must have been like super awkward. So I'm like, you know what? Hold on one second. I mean, I'm the one speaking. I'm presenting. And I can hear like my little guy yelling in the back, no, wipe more. You know, so it's like, hold on.
Oh my gosh.
I just, you know, got that together. And then literally without skipping a beat, just went back into my presentation. And it kind of just made me think.
High five.
Yeah, high five on that.
I mean, oh my goodness.
I think a decade ago, I've been apologizing up and down. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to apologize for that, because like, I'm a working mom. Sometimes that stuff happens. Mm-hmm. You know what? You wanted a meeting at 6:30 in the morning. I'm going to do that. But
that's a reality.
But it's going to be at home.
Yes.
And sometimes
good for you.
Crap happens.
Shit happens. All right. I like it. Thank you for sharing that, though, because it does take a little bit of an evolution or emotional intelligence, emotional maturity to get to a place where you feel confident enough to say, hey, this is a reality of who I am.
Totally.
Yeah. I have a call coming up with CUNA in a couple of weeks, and I told him that I could be on it for 30 minutes, but I will be sitting in the parking lot of my student school, you know, and I will have to drop off because priority wise, you know, going to that thing with him, it is.
Exactly. I'm already booked in that time slot.
Right.
Right.
So that is an opportunity for those that are thinking about going into motherhood or people that work with women that are in those positions to be able to understand and recognize that flexibility.
Well, and I think just to be real, I mean, I think that's too sort of one of the reasons I do, you know, when I tell my employees, I'm like, you know, I'm a working mom. I get it. I want to share some of my struggles because again, obviously, you know, I sit in the corner office, but I'm no different than the person answering the calls at Balance that is a working parent. We face the same things. And so I want to humanize that. I want to make it real.
Yeah,
right?
That's smart. That's smart. And people will respect you more as their leader if you're saying, hey, we're in this together.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what's an action item or takeaway, some advice that you can have for people working with women in leadership?
Yeah. You know, I would say that for women, make sure you find something that lights you up, that you're passionate about. I can tell you right now, and I'm going to assume you're the same, there's no way I would get up and do all the stuff I do and travel and work like mad, like if I didn't believe it in my heart. There's no way I could leave my little ones. And there are times when you miss things, right?
Sure.
So I definitely do sort of see, you know, why some women would opt out or step out. Like they probably just haven't found that thing, whatever that is that lights
that
them
love.
Up. And so I really, you know, as you're navigating your career and as you're thinking about having a family, like think about that. Like what is worth it? Because frankly, whether you stay at home or work outside of the home, raising children is really difficult and really, really challenging, right?
I mean, we make it look good.
Yes.
But no, it's right? a mess. I mean, I'm a hot mess most of the time, for sure.
Me too. Can I tell you, last business trip, it was a quick 2-day trip. In fact, it was here in Las Vegas. And the second day, the last day of it, I'm going to get dressed. And I'm like, hey, why don't these pants fit? I'm like, oh my God, they're my 10-year-old son's band pants.
You brought.
So I'm like, okay, I guess
Did they
like,
look look like your business pants or something?
They did.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just dust off what like I wore on the first day I got here.
Oh, at least you had other clothes.
But yeah, I mean, it's just sort of like, okay, we're gonna roll with it.
That is fantastic.
I think for women, just to really sort of just give some thought, you know, and sort of how are you going to navigate that?
Yep.
The second thing I would say, I think that oftentimes women are afraid to ask their boss, whether they're male or female, you know, hey, can I work a different schedule? Or can I, you know, do this? Or this has come up. You know, for me, I think if you've paid your dues and you're a productive member of the team, there really is no reason that employer would not allow you to make that happen.
Right.
You know, I had the great fortune to have an amazing boss. Where I came from before, I have an amazing boss today as well, my board chair. All three of my kids were born while I was working for this fabulous lady. Shout out to Teresa Freeborn at Exceed.
Yes, definitely.
I can tell you, my oldest daughter, I used to take her to music classes on Wednesday mornings, and I would just come in a little bit late to work. I mean, I always was super involved in the kids' school.
That's great.
Two of my three kids were not sleepers, and there were definite mornings where I would phone her up and say, you know what, I got to sleep a little bit more because I'm just not going to be any good to you. Right. I'll be there at noon, and I'm mm-hmm. just going to work a little bit later.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously she knew I was delivering sure. and I was producing.
But it takes a special person to be able to understand it.
It does. But I think oftentimes people are afraid to even have that dialogue. And I would really, really encourage people to sort of think about that and, you know, make sure that they're not missing the important things. It's not about FaceTime in your office, right? It's about producing and being the best member of that team. If you're able to do that and, you know, still leave and go coach the Little League game and
then
still be the
not?
Girl Scout leader. Like, go do that.
Absolutely.
Right.
So if listeners wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
I would love to hear from anyone. You can email me at kdavis@balancepro.org. Also invite listeners to check us out at balancepro.org. I'm a big believer in pay it forward. So if there's anything I can help anyone with, reach out. I'd love to do so.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. I love all the stories. I feel like we could just talk forever. Yeah, it's great. So now let's go out to Shauna in our second shout out.
Hi, this is Shauna Richardson. I'm CEO at Ceratec. One of our company's core tenets is to support and empower women through responsible credit services and education. I've worked with organizations all over the world to help create awareness about the importance of having access to fairly priced credit. I want women and their families to be able to fund their dreams. So I'm really, really excited about this Wonder Woman series. And with that, you are listening to the Strategic Hot Box with Brandi Stankovic.
Shauna's a perfect person to be partnering with in this initiative. She's definitely another woman that's out there kicking butt and working with a lot and empowering women that work for her as well as men that work with and for her in a collaborative way. And she's been doing that all across the world as well. So thank you to Shauna. So now it's your favorite time. It's my favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. And the way I'm framing kick ass today is in two different sections. We have for the working mom and for those that lead and work with women. So number one, from the working mom, is to communicate with the players. I love Catherine's example of working and talking with your boss and the people that are at your organization. The example that I gave you of talking to the school and the teachers and being as upfront as possible. Communicate with all the players in your life. That's the only way to get to the solution that works for you. Number two is don't apologize. If you are working hard, work hard. And if you are with your kids, be with your kids. And if they come in during your BBC interview, it is what it is. Or yell poop from the back. That's going to be the best. I'm going to remember that forever. Then don't apologize. It's all part of being who you are. Number three, got to delegate, have to be able to let things go. There are some things that I can't handle that you may not be able to handle. And so I urge you to be able to help get the people around you to be as supportive as possible. Number four is to unplug, to disconnect, to be engaged when you're with your kids, be with your kids, when you're at work 100%. And number five, just support all mom and dads. This is my opportunity for growth to be out there and love everyone equally because people do make decisions based upon their story and where they're at in their lives. And then if you lead women or working moms, here's some strategies for you. Number one, communicate. So similar the other way, make sure you're asking questions. Make sure you're asking why there's certain things happening or how best, you know, to be for them. This goes along with that, and Catherine mentioned as well, but examine some flexible schedules or flex scheduling in general. How can you give people the tools that they need to support who's important in their lives? Number three is incorporate family as much as possible. I want to be with my family in every second that I have. Because I work a lot, I like to be, when I'm with my family, I'm with them. So if you want me to be involved in something extracurricular, then it needs to incorporate my family as well. Number four, encourage people to unplug. So when you have employees out for weekends and things, let them just go be. Let them do their thing however they choose to find that fulfillment on the other end. And five, similar, support all moms and dads. And I love the example of the way that men have evolved and helped my husband. Very fortunate to have my husband. So shout out to all those dads out there as well. And that is your top five kick-ass. So we're going to wrap. I just want to say thank you so much to Catherine, to all the Wonder Women out there and the people that lead men and women every day. We encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Get out there and kick some ass.